Today we're hopping into part four of a five-part series called God is More Than Enough. And we like to have a little bit of fun here. You might be joining us today on Father's Day. We like to have fun. If you guys are excited to hop into the fourth part of God is More Than Enough, make a little bit of noise this morning. Come on, come on. We think it's okay to have fun in church. There's nothing worse than taking the best news on the planet and making it boring. So we're going to have a little bit of fun today. And here's where we have been in this series. If you haven't joined us, you've been traveling this summer already, maybe you missed the podcast. I want to give you just a quick update on where we have been. Week one, we talked about how God gives us new life in Jesus, that he literally gives us a new way of living. And that when we follow that way, we discover that God is actually more than enough for every area of our lives. And week two, we talked about how God not only gives us a new life, but a new identity. He gives us a new way of actually seeing ourselves, that in Christ, shame and fear, failure of our past actually gives way to realizing that we're chosen and set apart in Jesus. Last week, we talked about how God gives us a new perspective, that we don't need more to be happy, that we can live grateful for what we already have, and that kind of mindset, that gratitude mindset, pours over into recognizing that what I have is enough. And the more I start recognizing that, this wholeness sets in, and I become generous, and I start recognizing that I actually have more than enough. It's not someday in the future, that today I have more than enough in Jesus, and I can be generous to the people around me. I can't wait for next week. We're going to have a special finale as we close out the God is More Than Enough series. We'll also have the privilege of celebrating communion together. Some of you look forward to those dates, or maybe you're like, I'm not so sure what that's all about. I'm kind of new to church and Christianity. Come on back next week, and we'll teach you what that is about. Today, I've been asking a question each week, and today I'm going to ask the question, is today enough? Is today enough? And here's what I mean by that. Let me introduce this idea a little bit, and I think a lot of you are going to be able to relate. For much of my life, I've lived under the illusion that there's something around the corner, that there's something out there, it's coming, and it really matters, and it matters more than what I'm doing today. There's something out there, and it matters. It matters more than what I'm actually doing today. There's something around the corner, and it's going to make all the difference. There's this thing I desire. There's this event that I'm looking for. It's going to bring meaning and fulfillment to my life. There's going to be this moment. It's not here. It's someday out there. I'm just trying to get to it. It's somewhere out in the future. I often call it the when and then syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? Like when I arrive here, when I get this, when I finally accomplish this, then life will be better. Then I'll be happier. Then I will finally be fulfilled. When and then. In my own life, I'll give you the topic of ministry. Several years ago, Katie and I moved out to Los Angeles, and we were in our mid to late 20s when we moved out there, and there was this thought in our minds that this journey going out there, there's something out there, not in LA in general, just out in the world, and it's going to help. I was going to grad school full-time. I was working in ministry full-time, and I thought, when I graduate and get a real job, then I'll be happy. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've been there. When I graduate and get a great job, then life will really begin. I started working at a great church, and my thought was, well, when I get more responsibility, then I'll actually be a real leader. In time, it was, well, I've got a lot of responsibility. If I could only speak more, if I could speak more on stage, well, then I'd be making a real difference. Well, then several years later, I was speaking more than I could handle. I had far more responsibility than I knew what to do with. And my thought was, well, when I get to call my own shots, you know what I'm saying? Like when I get to do things my way, well, then things will be better. There's always this when and then. Put in the context of family. Well, when I meet the right girl, when we finally get married, well, then things are going to be fantastic. When we get our first child, our family will feel complete. When we get our first child out of diapers, come on, somebody, then we'll actually be doing better. Did you know, by the way, that diaper spelled backwards is repaid? I think there's something to that, right? So your kids are starting to grow up and they're getting busy. You're like, well, when life finally slows down, then it'll be better. Maybe when they go off to college, well, then it'll be better. Well, then they're in college. And you're like, well, when they're out of college, then we'll finally be able to eat, right? Like, you know, there'll be that thing come about. There's always this when and then. When this comes about, then it's going to be better. It's going to be better. Maybe you can resonate. I found that I've often wished away the current season that I was in, waiting for the next one to come about. One day, just around the corner, there's going to be that something, that achievement, that accomplishment, that relationship, that possession. When we finally get to that vacation, we're going to be okay. I remember when Katie and I moved to North Carolina. It was after we were in Los Angeles, and we were only been there a few months, and we were kind of feeling alone, and it was a really difficult season. We now had two children, and we were kind of feeling like we were in over our heads. And at dinner time, maybe you can relate, you've got two very little ones. They were both under three. It felt like at the dinner table, like we had wild banshees sharing the dinner table with us. Come on. And I was like, we would just look at one another. Our 10-year anniversary was coming up. We look at one another, and we're like, St. Lucia. Like, in weeks, in months, whatever, we would just, like, that was our hope that was coming, right? So someday, out there in the future, there's going to be this thing that's going to come, and it's going to fill the void that's in our lives. It's coming. When it comes, then life will be better. Something that's going to fill this emptiness, this void. And what we actually find is that around every corner was actually just another challenge. Have you found that too? That you wait for the when, and when then comes, there's just another challenge waiting. Another goal, another vision, another dream, another perceived prize. I've lived long enough to look back and see that there's a real weakness in my life. So much of my life has been spent pursuing my dreams, my goals, my passions, my whatever. And culture feeds this mindset, right? Whatever you can do to get more for yourself, gratify yourself, indulge yourself. What's the lingo now, right? Treat yourself, right? That's what we say today. The problem with this is Jesus never said treat yourself. That's not what Jesus said. You go look in the Bible, Jesus says the opposite. Jesus says deny yourself, right? It's not about your desires, not about your passions, it's not about your journey and destiny. No, deny yourself. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you've actually got to deny yourself. And he goes on to say, take up your cross and follow me. And so it's a picture, it's a metaphor Jesus gives us of saying, I'm going to deny myself so I can start actually really living for the first time, living, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct my life. See, what we're learning in this series is that God is actually, truly more than enough for every area of our lives. You select the area, and we're going to say, God is more than enough for that area of your life. See, perhaps one of the most difficult areas of our lives to trust God with is with our plans. Come on. Like, maybe I could give God my time. Maybe I've grown to a place I can give God my talent. Maybe I've gotten to this place I can even trust God with my treasure, but my plans, that's what I do, right? That's how I lead my life. I make my plans, but I wonder if there's a different way of looking at how we orient our lives. There's this verse I want to share. I think it's going to set a lot of us free this morning as we begin to wrap our minds around the truth. And it's the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in the city of Corinth. And he says, whatever you do, look at somebody around you and say, whatever. Just find somebody around you, say the word, whatever. You can even put some sass behind it, whatever you want to do, whatever. I want that to stick in our minds, that word, whatever. Whatever you do, what does Paul say? Do it all. Whatever you do, whatever you're going to do today, whatever you're going to do tomorrow, whatever you're going to do this week, whatever you wake up and you're going to do, do it all for the glory of God. In other words, you're not going to do it for yourself. You're not going to do it for your ways and your plans. You're going to say, no, I'm denying myself because I'm going to do it unto you. If I look at so much of my life, if I'm being honest, it was all about me, my comfort, what fulfills my goals and my plans, my wants, and yet Jesus comes along and says, no, you need to deny yourself. If you'll deny yourself, whatever you do can actually have real meaning if done for God. Think about that. Whatever you do, if you do it for God, all of a sudden it has meaning. You don't have to wait for some day to come. You don't have to wait for when and then. I wake up today, and if I'm doing it for God, today's my calling. I don't have to go find my calling. I don't have to take tests to find my calling. You can learn about yourself. We do that in Echo Steps to help you understand yourself. But your calling is not out there someday. Your calling is today. What you have in front of you, what God has given you today, if you do it for God's glory, today has purpose. God will give you the passion for it. Today is enough. Paul's trying to teach us something so valuable. You know, if you do it for God, today is enough. The prize isn't out there somewhere. See, the prize is not something we accomplish occasionally. The prize isn't something we eventually get to every now and then. I'm going to get a raise. I'm going to get a promotion. I'm going to get that thing. No, no, the prize is not what we do occasionally. What Paul's trying to teach us is the prize is what you do regularly. The work is the reward. In fact, I'm going to share three questions with you today. And these questions are going to keep coming up. You're going to see this. I'm going to repeat them several times throughout our time together because I want these to linger with us this week. The first one is this, is what if the prize is in the process? It's not somewhere out there in the future. It's in the process. It's in today. What if you can be grateful in the grind, the daily grind? Come on, some days that just feels like that, right? But what if you can live fully today, grateful for what you've been given? You can be grateful in the grind. And finally, what if joy is really found in the journey? See, the way we live is we're like, well, someday I'll get to the joy. This journey, I'm just going to work hard. I'm going to save up. We're going to get there. We're working towards it. But what if joy is not out there somewhere? It's actually found in the journey today. That whenever I do whatever I do for God, joy is today. Whatever you do, wherever you are, whichever season you're in, you can actually find real meaning and fulfillment. Divine satisfaction, because whatever you're doing it for God. See, I think this is going to change a mindset someday. What if real joy isn't someday? Real joy can be today. It can happen in a moment. It can happen in an instant when you start saying, I'm not going to be living for myself. I'm not going to be living for someday. No, I'm going to live for this moment that God's given me right here, right now. See, what I love about the Apostle Paul is his life was drastically changed. You might look at him and say, well, he's a hero of the faith. And he becomes that, but that's not where he starts. If you know anything about his story, he's going his own direction. He's got his own plans, completely lost and frustrated. He thinks he's doing the right things, and he's getting them all mixed up. And he has this moment where he encounters Jesus, and he's never the same again. He encounters Jesus, and his life is drastically turned upside down. He's never the same again. If we keep reading in his letter that he writes to the church in the city of Corinth, I think there's incredible insight into this way of living, that whatever I do, I'm going to do it unto God. And what I love about Paul always begins telling you where he started. See, we look at where he ended up. Paul always wants to go back and say, but that's where you need to know where I started, because he's always going to point to Jesus. My life has been changed by Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. Paul says this, all the other apostles are greater than I am. I'm not even good enough to be called an apostle. Right? We call him that today. He's like, I'm not even good enough. He says, because I persecuted the church. That's actually how Paul gets started with the church, that he is persecuting them. He's killing and murdering Christians. And he says this, but, look at somebody, okay? This is a big but. You don't have to say big but. Just look at somebody and say but. Look at somebody and say but. This is important. This is really important. It's a big word. But by God's grace, has made me what I am. You see the transition? Paul's saying, I was this, but God. See, what I love about what Paul is saying is, but God, his grace is changing me. And I love it because this is my story. I was going my direction, confused, frustrated, lost. And then Jesus stepped in and began to change everything. This might be your story, that you weren't good, that you weren't faithful. Jesus steps in, and then your life has been drastically changed by it. For some of you, perhaps God's grace hasn't actually had effect. You see what Paul says? But God's grace has made me what I am, and his grace to me was not wasted. What a wonderful passage. Jesus didn't die on the cross in vain for me, is what Paul's saying. I'm allowing it to have an effect in my life. It wasn't wasted. And maybe you'd be here today and say, well, I don't know if it's having effect in my life. And maybe you'd say it hasn't touched your heart yet. You haven't been changed by God's grace. And I want you to hear today. Please hear this. You're in the right place at the right time to be available to God, to open up your heart and say, God, if there's something that I'm withholding from you, come and move. Or maybe, Lord, I've never surrendered my life to you. I've been pursuing my plans. I want to start pursuing your plans. This is the place. This is the time to have that opportunity. Paul says, but by God's grace. And he's saying, that's, you might look at where I am. You need to be reminded of where I started, because that's good news to you and me. He goes on to share, this is what this grace did. He says, I worked harder. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but it was not I really, it was God's grace that was with me. I worked harder. Paul said, I worked harder. He's not bragging. He's just telling you the truth. Like, I started here. God's grace came in and did this work in me, and I was working harder than everybody. Not because I'm great, but because God's great, because of what God was doing in me. I started as the least, and God's grace abounded in me. There's something that's happening, and we need to grasp how immense this is in Paul's life, because he's saying, I was following my way, and Jesus changed everything. I went to trusting his ways. Like, I just started believing God. I just started trusting what he said. I just started doing it, believing he's more than enough for every area of my life. Well, here's what Paul's trying to tell us. Not only was it changing me, but it started changing the people around me. Like, I was being so transformed by it, I started saying things differently. I started seeing things differently. I started doing my life. Like, everything was different. And so it started affecting the people around me. And Paul's saying this to us. This can be your story too. It doesn't matter where you start. What matters is, will today you start trusting God? You see that? Doesn't matter where you begin. Paul's like, I was the least of all the apostles. Paul would even say he's the worst of sinners in other letters. He's like, it doesn't matter where you start. What matters is today, will you just go all in and trust God, believing what he says. And if you'll do that, God will do this tremendous work in you. See, if there's anyone that has authority to speak on this topic, it's Paul. If there's anyone who could have wished away current seasons in his life, it was Paul. In fact, I think if we were sitting around with Paul, just us and Paul, we're sitting around a campfire and we're talking and we're like, Paul, like, we want to press into that a little bit. Like, what do you mean you worked harder than all the other? Like, come on. Like, what do you mean by that? I think Paul would say, well, when others went to bed, I stayed up late and I prayed. I lingered with God. When others were still sleeping, up early because I wanted to get this right for God. Whenever others were willing to seek comfort, I realized it wasn't going to be comfortable following God. Paul would even go on to say, I was beaten, left for dead, and I went on. I was shipwrecked, and I moved on. There was this moment where Paul was even bitten by a poisonous snake. I think he'd be like, I didn't like it. It wasn't fun, but I shook it off, right? And I went on. I hid God's word in my heart because I wanted to be as close to him as I possibly could. I disciplined myself to let God renew my mind. If Paul was not being incredibly humble, he might even say, I went on to write the entire New Testament. Now, Paul doesn't know that in his time. All he just wanted to share God's grace, and he was writing these letters to all these churches, and that's what we get to look back on and see today. I think Paul would say, I went to cities where there wasn't a single Christian. Not one person knew about Jesus. And I went, and I just started sharing, hey, here's what's happening in my life. And I was echoing, I was sharing it with others. And then their lives got changed. And we started building churches from the ground up. And people that didn't know Jesus became leaders. And they started leading the church and leading the community. And then I think if we were to dig deeper and say, Paul, but weren't there times like you wanted comfort? Like, weren't there times that you desired better seasons? Weren't there moments that you wanted to quit? And I think Paul would say, if we were to look at his letters, he would say, actually, I learned to be content in whatever season I was in. I learned to be grateful for what I had, to be whole, knowing that what I was given that day was enough. In fact, God had given me more than enough. I could be generous to the people around me. So much so that even when I felt like quitting, when I felt like getting out of that season, that I started pressing into God, and I started recognizing that if I was in chains, if I was in prison, well, that's just an opportunity to share God with somebody around me. If I was shipwrecked or abandoned by other people, well, the people that God put in front of me, I could share God with them. Paul was just like, this is what my life is all about. I think if Paul could sit with you and me today, what he'd say is, whatever you do, wherever you are, with whatever resources you have, do it for God's glory. Let's make it real. You're changing diapers. Come on. Do do it for God's glory. If you're making sales calls, do it for God's glory. You're doing laundry, do it for God's glory. You're doing something for your boss, you're not sure you want to be working for that boss, you do not want to be running errands for that boss, well, do it for God's glory. It's not going to be talked about at your class reunion someday. It's not going to make you Instagram famous, but you're going to do it because it's the task in front of you. You're going to do it with integrity of heart. You're going to do it saying, well, whatever I do, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for God's glory. And then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, now I get it. The work is the reward. The prize is the process. It's walking it out with God. I can be grateful in the middle of the grind. The joy is not someday in the future. It's actually found here in the journey. It's not out there someday. It's here. When I live for God today, I find joy unspeakable that nobody else can even understand. Paul would say, today, it matters. It matters. And what I've come to learn, and maybe you're the same, is that there's these natural detractors in our life. What I would call them are like enemies of the true reward. Maybe you're with me. You're like, yeah, I get it. Like the true reward, the work is the reward, joy is in the journey. I'm with you. But then there's these things that creep up in our lives. Right? You're gonna drive out of here today and you're going to be in a traffic jam. You're going to go sit at lunch. God bless you, right, when everybody else is trying to get lunch for Father's Day. You're going to go drive into work tomorrow. There's going to be these things. There's going to be these natural enemies, right, these enemies of the true reward. So what do we do? What do we do with those? Let me give you three of them. Here's the first one. You can write them down in your notes. The first one is simply the pillow. The pillow. What do we mean the pillow? The pillow is the seduction of comfort. That there's something better around the corner, and it's going to make me more comfortable. Come on, we talked about this a little bit last week, and maybe for you, it's there's something better. There's a better house out there, right? You're not shooting for the moon. You're just like, if I could just have walk-in closets. Come on, that would be better. You know, if we could get the three-car garage, if we could get the granite countertops, if we could, I don't know, you know, if we could, whatever it might be for you. If we could get the heated tiles in the bathrooms, come on, somebody, that would be so bad. Like what? It's the seduction of the pillow. If I could just be more comfortable, the comfort is going to push you, especially when you're tired. No, I want to go for that. Let's talk about cars for a second, right? I remember there was a day like I just wanted a car that would do, you know, the windows would go down when I did this, because I used to have to do this. You know, I was like, someday if I could have the car that did that, like that would really be living. You know what I'm saying? Like when and then on that, or if I could get the sunroof, you know, if I could get the GPS, you know, I rented a car last summer that had like the driver assist. You ever had one of those cars? Like maybe you're driving that car. We can talk afterwards, but like since I drove it, I'm like, I need that car. Like that's the car I need in my garage. If you haven't had driver assist, it's like as close as you can get to a self-driving car. I'm just saying it's like, it's the seduction of comfort. Like there's something better. Like I've got to have that. Like when I get that, then it's going to be better. Maybe you'd say, if I was the boss and I could make more money, then I could take life easy. And I just want to encourage us today that God never called us to easy. In fact, easy never changed the world. We know that. Easy never changed the world. It's the pillow. It cries out to have more comfort. The second thing is this. It's the shiny thing. I just brought along my own cell phone. I'll call myself out on this. The shiny thing. It's the allure of constant distraction. Come on. You're walking along and you're doing life. You're focused. You know what's important. You're going after it. You're being a great parent. You're being a great encourager, a great friend. You're living out your calling. And all of a sudden, bing. Oh, whatever. I got a text from, I got an email from, I didn't know they were in Mexico. I need to go check out Facebook. And then like next thing you know, a half an hour's passed. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the allure of the shiny thing. I love golf as much as the next guy, but you know, maybe it's like, I've got to get out to the links, or I've got to get in the woods, or to hunt. I've got to, whatever. Like, there's all these things that pile up. Recreation is great. Like somebody invite me to the beach today, I'll be there with you. You know, like, but the question is, are we seeking to fill a hole? You with me? It's sort of like the carrot in front of the donkey. He's never going to get it. He's just constantly going after it. Do we truly believe that God is more than enough? These other things can be great ways that God has developed us, to build us up. I'm with you. But am I constantly after the allure of the constant distraction? There's a shiny thing that's out there and I need it. I got to have it, right? Here's the third and final thing. Third and final thing is this, the towel. The towel is the perpetual temptation to quit, to throw in the towel. You with me? So the temptation to quit, like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. The marriage is getting too tough. I'm not so sure we're in love anymore. I don't know if it's worth it. I'm going to throw in the towel. Maybe you're trying to pay down debt. You want to get out of debt. You want to move forward, and you know, the bills keep coming in, and things are breaking, and somebody's like, hey, we're going on vacation. You want to go with us? You're like, absolutely. You know, or hey, you guys will go out to eat tonight, and you're thrown in the towel, right? Because there's this perpetual temptation to quit, to give up. And I just want to encourage us this morning with all the opportunities. You're like, man, it's just tough. I want to throw in the towel. Instead of throwing in the towel, why don't you pick up the towel and like wipe off the sweat? Like Jesus would tell us, pick up the towel. He would even say, I'll pick up the towel with you. I'll come alongside of you. I'll strengthen you. I'll encourage you. Because if you do whatever you do for God's glory, I'm going to follow alongside of you. I'm going to encourage you every step of the way. The prize is in the process. It's not somewhere out there. Do not quit. Do not give up. It's graduation season, right? Or we're kind of at the tail end of graduation season. And that means a lot of you have sat through some really bad speeches. Can we just be honest? You don't have to, don't raise your hand. The valedictorian might be right next to you right now. But come on, let's be honest. Maybe not the best speeches you've ever heard. And they usually go like this. Follow your passion, right? You let your passion lead. Follow your heart, whatever you want. Here's the problem. Passion is usually misunderstood. And it's usually more frustrating and confusing than it is constructive, right? You can look back and agree with that. And moreover, the bigger problem with passion is it's usually about us. It's focused on our desires and our wants. It's selfish passion. There's something better than selfish passion, and it's this. It's selfless purpose. Selfless purpose. Think about Paul for just a moment. Think about Paul. Paul's a regular guy. He had his own passions. He had his own things he wanted out of life. Let's say it's music. Let's say Paul had a guitar. He was the greatest guitar player you could find back in Jerusalem, right? He was fantastic, and he was just hoping someday to be discovered. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it was art. Maybe he was a great artist, and someday he hoped that his work would be seen. Maybe he loved farming, and someday he was like, man, if I could just buy that piece of farmland, like then I will know that I'm alive. Maybe he just really likes speed, and he's like, I'm going to save up money. I'm going to buy some horses and some chariots, and it's going to be good. It's kind of an Indianapolis joke. I don't know if you guys got it. That's okay. Can I tell you what Paul was not passionate about? Let's be honest. Paul was not passionate about getting beaten, about being imprisoned, about being left for dead. Paul didn't want those things. And even in the midst of those things, he said, whatever I do, I'm going to do it for God's glory. And then God's going to flood me with the passion because I'm pursuing his purpose. Instead of going after my things, I'm going to go after God's purpose. I love what Paul says. He comes back to Jesus again. Look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Think about what has to transpire in Paul's life for him to come to that statement. My life, what would it take for you? My life is worth nothing to me. It's not about me, not about my selfish desires. My life is worth nothing to me. He goes on to say, my only aim, my only focus, the only thing I want out of life is to run my race, to do what God has called me to do, to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. He comes back around. I've been changed by it. I want nothing else out of life. My only aim is that more people can know about Jesus. Whatever God's given me to do, I'm going to run my race. I'm going to complete my task. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it for God's glory. See, Paul was going after this ideal. He says, if I could just be fully surrendered. Paul would say, I discovered real passion. I was chasing after my passions, and it was leading me astray. So I just started pursuing God, and then the passion came behind it because I started recognizing that every day had purpose to it. God gave me a purpose. And that purpose was above distractions. It was above comfort. It was above the temptation to quit. Paul would say things like, I'm not a boxer that's like sort of punching in the air aimlessly. He said, no, I'm a runner that runs with purpose, that I have a destination that I'm going after. Paul would wake up day after day and say, this is the day. the Lord has made. Not someday in the future. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be thankful and glad in today, and I'm going to live it out to the fullest. Paul would say, every day matters, and everything I do today matters. I don't have to wait for someday. I don't have to wait. I don't have to hope. In fact, I think Paul would say this. This is the final thing I'd encourage you to write down. It's simply this. When I pursue God's purpose, my passion will always follow. When I pursue God's purpose, my passion will always follow. Lean into this for just a moment. We're going to land the plane. See, when I start living with this kind of mindset, what I recognize is I'm not living for someday. I'm going to live for today. See, it's not when I get something important someday down the road. Like when the really important life comes around, then I'll start doing it. No, today is important because I want to do it for God's glory. I'm not going to live for my comfort, my distractions, my passions. I'm going to deny myself and live for God. And what Paul's teaching us is then all of a sudden you look up and you say, whatever I do, I can do it for God's glory. And then all of a sudden it has purpose. All of a sudden I recognize it's my calling. All of a sudden God gives me passion to do it more fully. And he walks with me every step of the way. The things I used to think were boring and mundane, maybe I wouldn't even pick these things to be in my life. When I start doing them for God's glory, passion that I never even knew existed comes into my life, and I start doing it back for God. Change diapers. I'm running kids across town. I'm fixing dinner. Why? Because it's my purpose. I'm in meetings. I'm making sales calls. What an amazing opportunity to influence people, to encourage people. The life of Jesus, the one who rose up from the dead, is inside of me. So whatever room I walk into, I can be life-giving. I'll take those meetings and I'll take those calls. Maybe you're working on school. Maybe you're fighting for your marriage. Maybe you're healing from a significant disappointment. You're caring for aging parents. You feel stuck in a job. You're paying down debt. You can wake up and say, this is my calling. I'm not waiting for it someday. Today is actually my calling. Some of you are on the dream team and you came in early. Some of you are going to stay late. You're just setting up flags and you're tearing things down because you know it adds up to people's lives being changed. Some of you were holding doors this morning. There's people right now that are holding babies because they believe that it matters. It all adds up to, and whatever I do, even if it seems small, I'm going to do it because it adds up God. And then here's what's going to happen. People are going to come alongside of you and they're going, how are you doing this? How are you living this out? Like, every day matters and you're doing it for God's glory, and I see something different in you, and there's even something different in the people around you. Like, how are you doing this? And you're going to say to them, actually, it's not me. You're going to say, like Paul, like, I was this. I was going my own way. And God's grace came in and changed me. And he's just supplying the energy, and he's supplying the focus, and he's supplying the purpose every day in my life. See, God will flood you with a passion if you wake up every day and say, today I'm going to live it with extreme purpose, with extreme focus. And you'll be able to wake up day after day and say, you know what, the work is the reward. The prize is the process. Like, today matters. I can be grateful in the grind. True joy is actually found in the journey today. I don't have to wait for someday in the future. I can start experiencing the joy that God made me for today. Today. It's not someday. I hope you hear this. It's right now. Today is enough. Today is important. Today is your calling. And I just want to encourage you. Dads, you can do this. Listen, we have days where we feel like we falter and we mess up, and I'm just telling you, God will give you grace, and he'll say, get back in the game. Wherever you are in your journey, mom, dad, grandparent, God's going to supply what you need. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of knowing you and walking with you. We thank you that you have grace and love for every season of our lives. And you don't make us on accident. You make us on purpose, for a purpose. And as we're praying, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. Maybe you would say, like me, you've wished away too many seasons. Maybe you would say, today I want to begin living every moment, like every step after step, moment after moment, day after day. I want to live it for God. I don't want to just live for my own selfish passions. I want to live for a selfless purpose. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up front. I want to give you a moment to respond to God. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up high for a moment? I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you. Just lift them up high for a moment. Anybody else before we pray? Put your hands down. If that's you, would you just pray this simple prayer? You don't have to pray it out loud, just in your own heart. Would you say, God, thank you for making me on purpose, for a purpose. God, help me to recognize that every day, this day, right in front of me, is an opportunity to live out my calling. Today is an opportunity to live towards my God-given purpose. You can even pray, God, would you just flood me with passion for it? Some days, Lord, I'm seeking my own comfort. Some days I'm distracted. Some days I want to throw in the towel. God, would you give me the passion and the energy each and every day to live it out? As we're still praying, I want to pray for one more group of people. Specifically, as we're praying, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and receive salvation in Christ. Maybe you'd recognize, like I did, that your life is all about you. Today, you'd recognize that Jesus is the one sinless Son of God, that he was selfless in every way. And while we sinned, he died for us. And he rose from the dead to give us new life. So every person that calls on the name of Jesus can be saved and forgiven and made new. Every sin forgiven, every failure redeemed. I wonder today across this room if you could say, life is not about me. I'm turning from my sins. I'm turning to Jesus. I need a new life in him. If that's you, I just want to invite you. Again, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Just with our eyes closed and our heads bowed for just a moment. If that's you, today you want to be forgiven. You want to begin following Jesus with your whole life. Would you just raise your hand up high? I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you. It's wonderful. Anybody else? Put your hands down. Anybody else before we pray? If that's you, would you pray this prayer right now, just in your own heart? Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Just tell him. Just pray something simple like this. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe Jesus is that Savior. So God, I'm turning from my way, and I'm turning towards your way. I'm turning towards my faults and my failures, because I know you took those on the cross, and I'm living towards you. God, would you flood me with the new life you rose up from the dead to give me? And would you pray something like this? Lord, would you empower me from this day forward to follow you, to deny myself, take up my cross, become a disciple of Jesus? Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you empower us. Everything you call us to, you empower us to do it because you know you've got something better for us. God, help us to live into it this week. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, around here we love to celebrate life change. For all those who rose their hands, come on, let's celebrate together. Come on, big time.